The last part of scripture we just heard, the end of chapter 20 in the Gospel of John, articulates the purpose of the Gospels: to share the story of Jesus so that people may come to believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised to new life, and that by believing, people may have the gift of eternal life. John's Gospel says, there are many other signs that are not written in this book, but you get the picture, I think, is what he's trying to say. This resurrection appearance that Jesus makes to the disciples is remarkable. All of the resurrection appearances, and we'll hear a few in the next coming weeks, are worth our spending some time and letting them marinate in our spirit so that we can truly understand the power of God revealed in Jesus' resurrection, that he overcomes death and the grave and gives to us the gift of eternal life. And we simply have to believe. Now, the story we just heard sometimes gets dubbed the story of doubting Thomas. Thomas is one of the 12, and for whatever reason, he wasn't with the others on that Easter evening, and he has some questions. He has some doubts, if you will, but I think his story is bigger than just being doubting Thomas, and we'll return to him in a moment. But this story of Jesus appearing to his disciples is, as I said, remarkable. They're in the upper room, the same place where they had their Last Supper with Jesus. They've heard the stories, and some of them went to the empty tomb, that the tomb where Jesus was laid is now empty. Mary Magdalene, we heard her story last week on Easter, has the first resurrection appearance, where Jesus says her name, Mary. And she goes and tells Simon Peter and the other disciples, and there they are. Same day, in the evening, they're gathered and they're filled with some fear. Fear that the same fate that came to Jesus, that he was sent to the cross, may still happen to them. But also perhaps just the fear and awe of the empty tomb. And what does that mean? And what are we, the followers of Jesus, supposed to do with this empty tomb? It's in that context and in that spirit that Jesus comes to them, entering into a room that is locked, and says, "Peace be with you." He says a word of God's peace to the disciples who are filled with fear and anxiety. And yes, they too probably had some doubts and some questions. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side, still bearing those marks of the cross. And yet he's very much alive. They realize Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus has conquered death and the grave, and he's bringing God's peace to them. Now, Thomas isn't there. So, of course, when he comes back, all these disciples who literally witnessed in very front of them the resurrected Jesus, they're pretty excited about it. I think you would be too. If the resurrected Jesus came into your locked home and said, "Peace be with you," showing you his hands and his side, I think, I'm going to go on a limb here, you might tell other people about it. They were just filled with joy, but also the kind of good news vibe and energy that they wanted to share with Thomas. And Thomas says, "I won't believe it until I see it for myself." Seeing is believing. It's not that he doesn't trust the word of his fellow disciples. He just needs it for himself. And here's, to me, the good news in this story. Jesus comes to us. He comes directly to the upper room, first for the disciples, and then he comes, it says, a week later, he came again and says to them, but specifically to Thomas, peace be with you. And he says, you want to see my hands and my side? Put your hand in the nail hole. Put your hand in my side. Jesus comes to Thomas directly and addresses his concerns and his questions. He doesn't judge him. This is why saying he's doubting Thomas and leaving it at that misses such a big part of his story. Jesus has such love for Thomas that he answers his direct question. It's like if you are praying, Lord, give me a sign, and then in due time, the sign comes exactly as you asked for it. This is a big deal. And part of why Jesus comes to the disciples is, yes, proving that he's overcome in death and the grave, but also creating for them this moment that they are going to be witnesses and they are going to be sent into the world to share their story and what God is up to. And Thomas is going to be a big part of that plan. And so Jesus says, peace be with you, to bring calm to their hearts, to build up their faith. But then he says it again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Part of what the resurrection is to build up faith, but also to send people out, to share. And it says, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. The disciples are going to be sent into the world to share the story of Jesus and to proclaim that forgiveness of sin through Christ is possible. Your relationship with God can be made whole because of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's their mission. So they don't stay in the upper room. They go out. And what does that build? It builds Easter community. In the book of Acts, we heard our first reading, chapter 4, talks about what happens when people who have an experience of the power of resurrection share their story. It builds up the church. So what happened in chapter 4, what it says is there was no needy people among them in the church, because if anyone had need, someone would sell their property and give all the proceeds to the apostles, who made sure everyone was doing well. Isn't that amazing? Who wants to sign up? Let's do that together at Bethel. We're all going to put all, we're going to have no more private ownership, and we'll all take care of each other. It sounds great, actually. Practically, there are some obstacles, and there's some things that happen. Actually, if you keep reading in the book of Acts, not everyone participates, and they kind of gets a little, it takes a twist. You can read ahead. But if you go back to where the church started, you see a very similar thing happen. In Acts chapter 2, we have the story of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and they're able to proclaim the gospel. They're able to share their witness of Jesus' resurrection to all the people. And Peter gives his very first sermon, best sermon in the history of the church. 3,000 people, after hearing Peter share the story of the resurrection, are baptized, and the church begins. And in the early church, it says they were so on fire, so filled with faith, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship and prayer. And it says they had all things in common, and they took care of each other. That's how powerful not only the story of the resurrection, but then we have the story of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Which, by the way, that's what allows the disciples to share the gospel. When he says, peace be with you, as the Father sends me, so I send you, he breathes on them the Holy Spirit, empowering them not only to give witness, but in the case of Pentecost, to speak all these other languages. And so there are these huge events in the church that shape and form the community so that the kind of connectedness and mutuality that we see in Acts was actually lived, even for just a short time. Now, I believe that the early church gives us the markers and the standards by which we should be striving in our life together. So what would some of those markers that we see in these stories be for us in our life together as the church, both here at Bethel but universally? Number one would be that we have the power of resurrection, that the central truth of our faith is Jesus defeats death and the grave. That is the best news in the world. We have that truth. We can share that truth. We're called to share it in actions, in words, in our everyday life. Second thing is, in the churches, we're called to build community. An Easter community is one where there's mutual sharing, where we look out for each other. The scriptures say, if there was ever a need, they took care of each other so that no one went without. Part of what we're to do is to build up the Christian community here by looking out for each other. And we do a great job of that, whether that's praying for each other, which starts with sharing when you're in need, which is a big, important thing to do, showing up, being together, caring for each other, all those kind of things are really important to build up community. We're not just individuals coming individually to a worship service. We're called to be a community, to care for each other, to be part of each other's lives, and to share our faith. But the second part of that, which is intention to that internal building up community that we see in the early church, is that we're turned outward as well. That it's all about sharing the good news and multiplying. The scriptures say, after that initial 3,000 people joined the church, they didn't stop. They didn't say, okay, we've reached our capacity, we're all done now. Let's get to know each other and stop. It says, day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. What it means to be the church is that we're outward focused and we're trying to multiply. We share the good news because all people in this world are loved by God. And we want all people to know the truth of God's saving grace. And so we want to have our doors open. As we're building up community, we're extending welcome. We're extending ourselves to go out into the world. That's why we have evangelists and missionaries and all kinds of things that people do this full time. But I think we're all part of expanding the circle of inclusion, so that everyone knows and everyone can be part of a community of faith. We are Easter people. We are Easter people with that fundamental truth of Jesus' death and resurrection makes all things possible. We are empowered with the Spirit. Every breath we take is the Holy Spirit within us. And it gives us the capacity to do God's work in the world. And we're called to be in relationship with one another as we are in relationship with God. So may we continue to be Easter people, living and constituting this Easter community. Amen.